What if I was the only human since Adam to have sinned? What if I was the only one to have ever sinned? All of you have lived your lives, all of humanity since Adam. No one sinned, but then I came along and I sinned. Would Jesus Christ have sacrificed his life for me? It's kind of an absurd question, isn't it? Because we know the Bible, what the Bible says about that. Of course, we know history. Everyone has sinned. But what if? Does the scriptures give us any indication about the answer to that question? How would you answer that question as you think about it? Yeah, actually, there are a couple of scriptures. Let's turn to Luke 15, and let's begin in verse 3 and see what this parable can teach us about this weird question that I pose for you today. Verse 3, and he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Now, it doesn't say 5 sheep, right? Would you leave the 99 just for one? Maybe 5, maybe 10. I mean, but you're leaving 99 and you're going after one lost lamb. Our Savior is a good shepherd, and he will go after the one lost lamb. And there are other parables very similar to this. You can read on, continue in Luke, and you'll read about the lost coin, and there are others. Paul adds a little bit of clarity to this, some insight to this in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, and let's go to verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. Where Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul makes this statement here in Galatians, and he brings out this very personal point about our individual relationship with Christ. He loves me, and he died paying the penalty for my sins. Deuteronomy 24 gives us some interesting insight as to just who is responsible for my sins. I'm not responsible for your sins. You're not responsible for my sins. And Deuteronomy 24 makes that perfectly clear in verse 16. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16, it says, "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sins." So I am responsible for my sins, just as you are responsible for your sins. So this first question actually leads to a second question, which is not weird, nor is it absurd. And that question is, how personally do I take this Passover? I need to remind myself, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and we should say this ourselves as we think about this Passover. You see, brethren, in purely human terms, it's it may be, in a human sense, easier and more comforting to be among fellow sinners, right? We've all sinned. How weird would it be if I was the only one? I mean, how would you feel if you were the odd person? In this situation, none of us can point the finger to anyone else. But we can all point the fingers to ourselves. I am responsible for the necessity of this Passover. I am responsible for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. I am responsible for the death of the Lamb of God. I must take that responsibility personally. Now, I grew up a Catholic. I've mentioned this a number of times, and I learned, and this was in the 1950s, I learned very early there was a rather disdain among Catholicism. I mean, maybe it was our priest, maybe it was where I grew up, I don't know, but there was a general dislike of Jews by Catholics. They didn't like them, and I came to find out the reason they didn't like them was because they said, well, the Jews killed Christ, right? And sure, they were the instruments by which Christ did die. But the truth is that each of us, individually, everyone, but individually, we're the ones responsible. We're the ones that made it necessary that Christ live and die for our sins. So what is the point of this question? Would Christ die for my sins personally? What is the point of this in terms of this Passover? What should we, therefore, as individual sinners, how should we approach the Passover? I think we should approach it with a great deal of humility and reverence. Paul brings this out in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and we'll go to verse 27. We read this every year during the Passover, leading up to the Passover. I'll focus on one point here. And when in verse 27, wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let each man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So what it's talking about here, when we read that word unworthily, is often misunderstood, because that word is used in a lot of translations. But if you look at the Greek, if you look in Strong's and you see the Greek, what it's really talking about is there's no way we can be worthy. I mean, does anybody think that we could possibly somehow work ourselves up into some sort of spiritual state where we're all of a sudden worthy? No, we're not worthy. We're never going to be worthy. In the context of the definition of that word in today's English, the better word, and as Strong's points out, is irreverently. So, and apparently the Corinthians were coming together to do this, and it was just more like a social than it was a reverent service. So let's put that word in here. Whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord irreverently shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. So we have to have this great respect and reverence for what happened. And if we look at it in personal terms, that I am personally responsible. I think for me, as I think about this question every year, it helps me appreciate the death of our Savior more and more every year. So, brethren, those are some thoughts to consider as we look forward to the Passover in the next few days.